The Rays Radio Network proudly presents This Week in Rays Baseball. Here's your host, Neil Solons.
Well, we thank you guys for joining us. Happy holidays. This likely will be our last podcast before the holidays, unless there's some big trade or free agent addition. And this person would probably know if that's on the horizon, that being the principal owner of the Rays, Stuart Sternberg. Stu, thanks very much for being with us. Happy holidays to you and your family.
And the same to you and all the listeners. And I'd like to say you saved the best for last, but it's probably just the opposite.
I don't know about that. Tell me, as you look into the holidays, and certainly, you know, you get to the new year, it's a time for reflection. What are you going to remember most about this year in a positive way?
On the baseball side? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lot of a couple of things. One is our organization's resolve and ability to guide through just everything. it's a laundry list. It's just too long to list. And secondly, I think Randy Rosarena pounding on home plate.
That certainly was a great moment. Where does Mike Brasso sit up there in terms of moments this year for you? Those two were kind of like the indelible things for me.
Yeah, I would say it's sort of like the most recent, when you work backwards, I could get into there was a whole bunch, right? You know, Brasso was just bananas altogether. These were degrees of just excitement and compelling theater, baseball, whatever, game, to take on the three organizations plus the Blue Jays, four organizations, but the three top payroll teams in the game and beat them in deciding game, or two of them in deciding game series, and to do it in such compelling fashion. And you mentioned Brasso was just, especially after what happened, back with Chapman earlier in the season. And you couldn't write this script and have it even somewhat believable.
No. When you were watching it, first of all, where were you when the DS was going on? And can you describe what it was like for you, watching it, Brasso going through that at bat?
Yeah, I was watching on TV. I was here in St. Pete, watching on TV. And it was that at bat, but leading up to it, every at bat and every pitch, not to sound trite, but of the entire game, of the entire series, creates a tension that led to that. And then pitch after pitch after pitch. And I've always been, I think of things from the defensive side of the game. We stress the run prevention first. And the thing that always concerns me most is a long at bat, when you're giving up a long at bat to a batter, because all the things you hear that, they see more pitches or they're on the pitches and the pitcher can't put them away and all of that. So, I think as the bat went along, I had some optimism only because it continued. But it was gut wrenching. Yeah.
And Brett Phillips is at bat. Obviously you're in Texas at the time. Where are you in the ballpark, and what was your kind of reaction as all of that is going on?
Yeah, I have had been and continue to be. We've been staying extremely cautious and safe. So I didn't attend any games this year other than spring training. March 12th was the last game I had seen. And then we did, in fact, go to Texas for the World Series. And to sort of be in a stadium and be around people, it was a jolt because it had been such a sort of, it's a lot of solitude, the last, the 8 months previous or so. So we're in the stadium, and watching it, and to see Brett Phillips come up and he's on the team, and, clearly he was there, was brought in, in a large part for his defense and his ability, his legs, and his personality had taken over, which was great. But we also saw something in his hitting, and his ability to hit the baseball. And he hadn't had, consistent success in the major leagues. And, when you look down your lineup and, when you look down the down the bench, you know, who's going to come in, who's going to hit. And for him to be able to come up in that situation and succeed, it was magical. It was just magical, you know, to go against the Dodgers and their pitching and, you know, create that matchup. And look, this guy is a major league hitter. He's had, you know, tons of success at times. And, you know, it's a tribute to him and to our baseball department to be able to have a guy there to be put in that position.
Those two players, Mike Brasso, Brett Phillips, were involved in two big moments at the plate. But, I mean, for me, the postseason that Randy Arozarena had, and I know you remember him pounding on home plate, probably one of the best postseasons I think we're ever going to witness in our lives.
Yeah, they can't get any better. They just physically can't. And I do think part of it, had it been anybody but a Rosarina, Randy Rosarina pounding on home plate, it still would have been just completely, complete madness, but it would have had even a slightly less effect because of everything he had done up to that point in all the series that we had played. So of course it had to be him, right?
No doubt. I mean, you love, I know, the history of the game dating back to when, you know, you became a fan of the sport. Where do these moments fit for you just in terms of your love of the game?
It's thank you for bringing that up. It's hard to separate, you know, I'm a fan first and watching these things, but the first, second, and third. But it transcends, you know, all the other times. I would say, you know, the last, let's call it 40 some odd years, you know, since owning the team, but it's the closest thing that harkens back to when I would say, you know, I think back to, you know, from the ages of say 7 to 15 or something, where it was just everything I lived for, right? You know, the box scores, just gobbling up box scores and getting the results from games from the West Coast that you in the next morning and things like that. And watching the games and just living and dying with them. It's, you know, I won't say in the history of the game as far as, you know, Mickey Owens' third strike or, you know, dropping a pitch and Gianfrido's catch or so Sandy Amoroso's catch. You know, those were things back from the Brooklyn Dodgers or actually witnessing Tommy Agee's catches and Swoboda's catch. You know, they were just, you know, you put your hands to your head and you go, oh my gosh, right? And I think those were the reactions we all had.
Did you see that with your family too, that was with you at the games in Dallas? I mean, to see them at Arlington?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, well, I watched the games on TV. I watched with Lisa, my wife, and generally with one or more of my children. And, you know, that makes it special rather than just sitting there alone watching the game, which in itself is gut-wrenching, but we were all able to be together fortunately in a suite. It was down on the first base side in Texas, and we were on the floor, we were hugging each other, we were, you know, falling around. It was amazing to be there with you, you know, to be able to spend that time with the kids. Because they had been there for the World Series games up till then, and you know all the buildup that gets you to that point, it was amazing. It's just amazing.
And I think for most of us, we're going to love those moments, but we're also going to remember so much about this team. And I don't know about you, for me, it was the buy-in that this group had. I mean, to deal with everything they had to deal with, and then almost reinvent an entire bullpen with injuries to what Poche, Drake, Beeks, Kittredge, you know, and then on the starting step, Chirinos and you know, McKay. I mean, to deal with all that and to still get through, there had to be a lot of buy-in from the players, the coaches, the staff, everybody.
Yeah, it was. Look, just getting the guys on the field, no matter how good of a team you thought you might have or anything, so much of it was going to be about the approach. And I do think that I remember back when we were home and we playing the games, everything looked fine. And we went out on the first road trip and things weren't so fine. You know, I think that, you know, it just shows that the, you know, what these guys had to go through and the preparation, and staying in the hotel rooms and all, things that they're used to doing things a certain way, it affected their play on the field, and that's the least of it, but it certainly affected their play on the field. And we came back, it was a rotten road trip, but they rebounded. And then in the face of all the injuries happening on the, especially in the pitching side, we thought it was almost like an epidemic, of a different sort. And I'm sure if I was a pitcher who didn't get hurt, I'm sitting there going, am I next? Am I next? So, in the face of all of that, it either breaks you apart or brings you together. And clearly this group, especially in the clubhouse led by, Kevin Cash and the coaching staff and all the support staff, and Joe Bench, our trainer, was able to rally and come together as opposed to let it break them apart.
Is that what will stick with you just about the group? I mean, Eric Neander said before the year started, he thought this was the most talented group that they've had. Did you kind of feel that way too?
Going into the season, I think it was. We felt, to me, I focus on the pitching, the starters, and even more so, if not as much or more so, the relief pitching. And I felt incredibly good about our starting pitching, and I felt even better about our relief pitching, and I felt comfort in the depth that we had. And our ability to mix and match and, put guys in positions to succeed, and then, when things got shut down, you don't know how all of that is going to play out. But I still felt really good because, again, if we have the pitching and we have the defense, we're going to win a lot of baseball games. That's just the way it is. And, fortunately, guys did enough at the plate. Some guys did really well at the plate, but we were also able to withstand some guys, mostly I would say due to the pandemic, just never quite getting going, not just on our team, but on other teams as well.
No doubt. I mean, you can look at, we'll look forward a little bit, but guys like Austin Meadows never
yes.
really had the kind of season you would anticipate. Yandy Diaz was, home at his home in Miami. He never got COVID, but probably didn't have the same kind of normal schedule that he would have. And that probably impacted him and his health. There are a lot of guys, I think, on the offensive side who you might look ahead to 21 and say, hey, I think there's a whole lot more potentially in there.
Yeah, well, you bring up that, especially those two guys, we try to have everybody do their part on offense. There's no question. Guys take a lot of pride in their hitting. But those two guys are mainly there for their bats, right? Not to say that, it's great because they were able to, do well enough in the field. And certainly play skilled positions, especially with Yandy at third base. But you count on them for the bats to carry the way and, not having the two of them perform as they would like to, as we would like them to, put a lot of pressure on everybody else. But, at the end of the day, even with all the injuries, it was such a testament to our staff to be able to have the arms available. And we never, we were always throwing out on the mound arms that we were proud and happy to have out there. And we probably went, I don't even know how deep, 20 some odd pitchers deep. And it's unheard of to have to do, but the quality was just incredible. And I could only imagine what would have been. And if even a few of those guys had, just stayed healthy through it, especially, the bullpen guys in particular, and, maybe one more of the starters, we couldn't have had a much better season, but it could have ended differently.
Game six itself, was that difficult for you? What were your emotions after all of that?
Oddly enough, it wasn't. It's hard to win a game 1-0. You can't really plan to win a game 1-0. And at the end of the day, we were going to need to score some more runs and we didn't. And yes, while it's about game six, it would have been about, winning one of the other games somehow that we didn't win. It would have been us on the other side of game six, right? Mm-hmm. But, if we're just talking about game six, it was difficult. I mean, the game that Blake was having was just, it was, otherworldly especially against that lineup. But then for the most part, we held them in check as well. But it does get to a point sometimes where it's just you get overrun, by the quality at bats that they throw at you, just one after another after another. And I guess if we had, a 2-0 lead, a 3-0 lead, or 4-1 lead, if we'd been up by 2, 3 runs, I think that we would have played it a bit differently. I don't know for sure. But when you're trying to nurse a 1-0 lead, you've got to do extraordinary things. And sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But I don't I don't put it on any particular pitcher or the manager, or it really was about trying to get another run or two across the plate before it got to that point.
And as good as this season was, are you more impressed about the year itself or the fact that you're able to get through it, when you consider all that went on?
Well, when you say get through it, MLB got through this, as a whole, all the teams got through it. And look, some teams had, got through a lot more than we did, right? You look at the Marlins, you look at the Cardinals, you look at, teams that had, that had to shut down, start up again, play all the double headers and everything. We were part of all of that, but fortunately, through a lot of, and it didn't happen on its own or by mistake. Through a lot of great planning and extraordinary efforts by our traveling party, and by the whole organization, keeping and the players themselves and the coaches keeping everybody safe from the get-go, we were able to avoid those issues during the season. It, having said that, it just going through all of that process was almost mind-numbing for these, for these people, and physically and psychologically demanding. But they persevered. And again, to your point, you said earlier, I do think, it's sort of that bunker mentality a little bit, it made them stronger.
On a personal level, how challenging was this year for you dealing with COVID? You mentioned you didn't see any games in person from March all the way up until the World Series.
Yeah, it was, it, look, you try to separate things, on a personal level, on a business level, on a baseball on field part of it, and then an organizational level, all the people that, at the end of the day, I'm, responsible for their livelihoods in a large respect, and they're responsible for their own livelihoods, and trying to keep people safe and happy and healthy. This was a year. I try to usually try to keep everything a little bit separate, so you can deal with things a little bit in a vacuum, so you know you're doing the right thing, and then figure out how they overlap into other parts of your life or your business. But this was one that was just all one big petri dish, effectively. All of our employees asking them to do. To do work in the face of what was going on, both just to keep the organization going, asking our employees to do work to get the stadium open and safe and clean, at a time that their health was in jeopardy, potentially, and at a time where they had to deal with kids at home, with loved ones who might have been dealing with illnesses. The whole thing was an extraordinary challenge. And it, to say it was difficult, is to say the least. And just the fact that we got games going and on the field this year, and as many as we did, was just an incredible accomplishment by Major League Baseball. By all of the participants on all the teams within the game, and all the people that had to put it together.
You mentioned the what if of what if there was another starter healthy or another reliever or two healthy. Do you think about the what if, let's say you had been able to play home games in front of fans, what that would have meant for the organization going forward? Because I still look back at the end of 19 and those great games against Houston at Tropicana Field and what that place was like and what it would have meant if there were playoff games at Tropicana Field in 20.
Oh yeah, no question. For a lot of reasons, those who were there, it sort of accentuates the So, you know, the experience, because when you're there, you know, you remember if you were there for game 162 or for a playoff game or game seven in 2008 against the Red Sox, it has greater meaning in a sense. However, people who took in our games on TV, especially in came the playoffs, were, you know, the postseason, have been sitting at home night after night after night after night, you know, consuming their lives on their phones, on their televisions, on their computers. And, you know, I won't say the same thing, but it's been, you know, they're watching news reports that were not good, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, socially, politically, and you know, from a, obviously, most importantly, from a health standpoint, you know, mixing in some content that you know, whether it was a movie that you know, some old movies or TV shows that were done. And then all of a sudden to have this live compelling programming show up in your home, you know, it's a jolt that I think did a lot of good, especially came, you know, not just the regular season, but especially, you know, once September and October hit, I think that jolt created, you know, for people at home, you know, some meaningful moments.
You know, personally, I think a lot of us have felt, I don't know about you, but somewhat relieved that we now have not one but two vaccines out there. And while there's still a ways to go, do you feel more optimistic about at least getting closer to normal in 2021?
Yeah. No, yeah, I do. Look, we will get more normal. You know, my own sense of things is, you know, at some point by April, we'll, if not a little bit sooner, we'll start to feel it. However, having said that, I think we're going to go through a heck of a storm before we get to that calmer water. You know what? You know what it's going to be from now on till the end of January, given you know, the rampant spread and the holidays and everything else, and then the, you know, the jockeying over trying to get the vaccine and all. But you know, with some patience, with some perseverance, and some planning, you know, we all need to just stay the course in a good way and try to make the best of it and know that, you know, things are going to improve. It's not going to be like a light switch that went off, mm-hmm. but things will improve. And, you know, I the other side to it is just, you know, I don't think we can all handle if this thing sort of takes a left turn somehow or some reason. We're going to need some, you know, we're going to need some good news here going forward. I mean, you know, we sort of had it right now. And I do expect it. You know, what normal means, I don't exactly know, but I think people will be able to start taking stock and trying to see whatever positives came out of this. You know, is, you know, we'll take care of ourselves better. We're going to, you know, care about our loved ones more, you know, just, you know, things that we'll take out of it and make sure not to forget those things.
And I think we'll hopefully, you know, from our fan standpoint, I think that, you know, that release would be good to be able to see baseball in person. Do you see that happening at some point, whether it's start of the season in 21?
Yeah, I you know, any movie you've ever watched that has that, you know, when the storms stop and the sun comes out, or even if you've been in something, you know, you're inside for 3-4 days, you know, when the weather's crummy and all, and you know, and you get out and all you want to do is soak up what's going on out there. I do think it'll be it should be a good thing for people who want to get out and start to make themselves, you know, a part of the public again and be around their neighbors and all, you know, in a nice environment. I think baseball lends itself very well to that.
The last week, you guys added a couple of free agents. You re-signed Mike Zunino on the baseball diamond. You got Michael Wacha, who had been with the Cardinals and most recently the Mets. What did it mean to add those guys, and how much does that help, do you think, in the big picture as you go forward?
Yeah, they look. We losing Charlie Morton is, you know, was a loss. Getting Charlie Morton when we got him was a big plus, right? But you know, we make a number of moves each year, usually sometimes a lot, and you never quite know which one or ones are going to be the ones that move the needle. But invariably, there tend to be some moves that move the needle. You know, that are very much under the radar, or even if they're you know, they're seen, you just don't know the effect of it, right? So we don't know. We know what we're getting with Mike Zunino. He's been here. He's familiar. I think having that continuity with the staff, it's shown that it's worked for us. We're very excited to have Mike back. We're excited that he chose to be back here. It really, you know, it says a lot about him, and it says a lot about him and within our organization. You know, so, you know, this is a guy that we think very highly of, and whoever's going to handle our pitching staff, you know, we're going to think very highly of. And so that's him. And then Waka is a guy we've liked. And I think, you know, look, it could turn out to be something that doesn't work out. But, you know, we go into these things with, you know, our opinions, and our opinion is this guy is really good. And, you know, we could try to help him, you know, be even better and, you know, give us, you know, significant innings and important innings and successful innings.
Well, the staff has been right more often than not, that's for sure. You know, and I think part of that, you know, Kevin has delegated well, has led well. He compared recently the group to maybe it could be like the Royals, where, or Eric might have done it, where, you know, they got to the World Series one year, they ended up winning it the next. Will enough of this core be together? You think that this can be that group that kind of takes advantage of what they learned from this past year?
Yeah, this is, you know, it's been a couple of years now, I'd say, right? You know, if you go back, you know, when we had the success, I think from the time we made, you know, that when we traded Chris Archer, you know, the core of that team started to come together, had an enormous amount of success that August and September. We had a tremendous amount of success in 2019, and I do think the core of that team is in place, is still in place, remains in place, and we've added to it, you know, not so much by replacing, but by depth. You know, you had a group of guys, and now you have a larger group of guys. You know, we're sort of 35 deep, I think, at any one time, and that's really where we are. It's not about, you know, a core of 25 guys on a team, and that's the way we've always approached it, and I think that'll be the case, you know, this year and for the next few years.
Isn't that the way the Rays have to beat the big teams, the Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers, to be better 1 through 40 than, let's say, 1 through 8 or 1 through 5 or whatever it may be?
Well, look, we love the guys, you know, the 1 through 8 guys, the 1 through 25, you know, we think the world of them as well. And we think that they're, you know, they can, you know, pound for pound, punch for punch, you know, compete with those, you know, the other teams and the other players. The important thing is to put them in a position where they can succeed, right? You know, whether it's, you know, it's really about the roster you have, you know, the 25 guys, making sure, you know, that you know, somebody is hitting on at the correct time in the order. Somebody is, you know, facing the correct pitcher, and the pitchers are making sure that they're not facing multiple batters, you know, when they're at a point of weakness and things like that, and trying to accentuate their strengths by, you know, making sure they're hitting in better counts or making sure they're pitching, you know, with the correct pitches and setup and things like that. So, look, I'm always amazed that as an organization, we're able to beat those teams at all, you know, no, because I could only, I let's put it this way. If we were spending that kind of money, I would think we'd win 140 games, even though I know it's not the case. I wouldn't expect to lose. You know, it's $200 million payroll. If I was running these guys out there, you know, I would say, why are we losing any games, right? But, you know, if we're able to win 90 some odd games where we are now, you know, can you imagine what you do with, you know, another $140 million? But it's a testament to how good our guys are and how they get out there and get at it, and they feed off each other. So it's you know, we just seem to be able to do it year after year. Yeah.
And it's certainly been awesome and special in so many ways. And while that's going on, you guys are still, you know, in the background. And you've always kept this quiet during the season, continuing to work on the whole Sister City plan. What do you want to tell the fans about where that is right now and what may happen in 2021?
Okay, yeah, I had, when the virus hit in March, it was all hands on deck and everything was focused for those first couple of months on, you know, the interior, I would say, of the organization, only the people, and only, you know, what our finances were looking like and where we stood. And I think once we got that, you know, we were comfortable with where we stood, I would say comfortable where we stood, but I mean, at least we knew where things were, you know, by June, you know, we started to take on, you know, other projects, at, you know, as we went along the way, you know, like the social media things, you know, which we kept up on. We were trying to stay very much involved with all the social issues that were going on, especially, you know, through the early summer and spring and early summer. And we were at the same time, you know, looking to get back on the field and all that was necessary to prepare for what was going on in the field. So everybody had their jobs to do, and the people who were doing those jobs in years past, you know, went back to doing those jobs. Once we recognized that they were going to be safe, that they were going to be taken care of, that they had their loved ones, you know, squared away and things like that. And then the people who've been working on the group that have been working on our stadium issues over the years, and specifically, you know, for the last year and a half on the Sister City concept, got back at it, I would say, you know, in earnest in the early summer as well. And, you know, much to my delight, we have made a huge amount of progress up in Montreal in the last 4 months. Our crew and the group up there that would like to bring baseball back, you know, are really taking strides, you know, to do all the things that are necessary and planning to get this, you know, this sister city concept in place. And I, you know, I think down here as well, you know, we're continuing to have discussions and trying to see if there's a place for us, you know, here in Tampa Bay, as I expect there will be. And that's really my desire, my only desire to, you know, one of the main reasons or the main reason to do this is so that we can keep baseball here in Tampa Bay, even if it is for, you know, a shorter season than it might be otherwise.
And as you continue to work on that, let's hope, you know, that the good things, the great memories from 2020 are just a start of, you know, what we'll have in 2021 and health and happiness to everybody.
Yeah, most importantly is that, and as I touched on earlier, we need to also make sure of all that we learned a lot of good. When I say we, you know, public, right? Our organization, or, you know, all of our employees, everybody around this area and around the globe. And whatever the good we learned, we just need to make sure to accentuate it and not forget it. And, you know, take those positives and, you know, as the virus in theory passes, you know, use the positives and, you know, learn from them and build to a better future.
Here's to a safe and healthy holiday season and a successful 2021, Stu.
Neil, the same to you, your family, and anybody listening to this right now. Thank you very much for your support. Thanks for giving us your ear and your time and your fandom. And we look forward to getting at it when the season starts in 21.
That is Rays principal owner Stuart Sternberg. Again, if there is any news, we'll have it on a future podcast or on our blog, raceradio.mlblogs.com. Thanks for being with us. Happy holidays. We will talk to you soon.